KJAN Sports.
Time for Jacob Sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Well, Connecticut has received the first overall seed in the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament as the Huskies seek their third consecutive national championship. The Huskies will open at home against St. Francis of New York in the Albany region, continuing Gino Auriemma's quest to tie John Wooden's all-time Division I basketball record of 10 NCAA titles. Notre Dame is the top seed in the Oklahoma City region and will begin its tournament schedule at home against Montana. The Irish have been to every Final Four since 2011 without winning the championship. South Carolina heads the Greensboro region and will be home for its opening round game against Savannah State, a team the Gamecocks crushed by 62 points this season. The top seed in the Spokane region is Maryland, which ran the table in the Big Ten, and they'll be home for its first round game against New Mexico State. Iowa is the third seed in the Oklahoma City region, and Iowa State is the 10th seed in the Albany region as the women's NCAA basketball tournament field was announced last night. The Hawkeyes will play 14th-seeded American University in a first-round game Friday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. The 1:30 game will be broadcast on ESPN2. Iowa is 24-7, American 24-8. This is the Hawkeyes' 24th trip to the NCAA tournament and their 8th in a row. The Cyclones will face 7th-seeded Dayton in the first round on Friday at 11 a.m. at Memorial Coliseum in Lexington, Kentucky. Iowa State is 18-12, while the Flyers are 25-6. Cyclone coach Bill Fennelly has led the Cyclones to each of their tournament appearances. He says it also says a lot about the university. Playing in Lexington means they'll not be that far away from the men's team, which plays in Louisville on Thursday.
Yeah, the very first text message I got was from Fred. Said, let's go take over Kentucky. So it'll be fun. Obviously, there might be a few people get over there from Louisville. So that's exciting.
Well, this will be the first meeting between those two schools. Fennelly says he doesn't know much about Dayton, although he saw them once this year.
It was November because they played at Iowa early in the year. So when we were scouting Iowa, I got to see him a little bit. I don't really remember because I really wasn't watching Dayton. I was watching Iowa, but they gave Iowa a great game. I think it was like 90-83. It was a very high-scoring game. So they're going to score the ball a lot.
Well, the winning team will advance to play the winner of the other game, second-seeded Kentucky versus 15th-seed Tennessee State on Sunday. The Cyclones are one of four teams nationally to make the NCAA tournament in both men's and women's basketball in each of the last four seasons. Well, Kentucky is the first team in 23 years to go wire-to-wire as number one in the Associated Press men's basketball poll. The Wildcats received all 65 first-place votes after winning the SEC tournament and running their record to 34-0. Kentucky is followed in the poll by Villanova, Wisconsin, Duke, and Arizona. The second five consists of Virginia, Gonzaga, Notre Dame, Iowa State, and Kansas. Connecticut is number one in the final women's AP poll of the season, followed by Notre Dame, South Carolina, Maryland, and Baylor. UConn got all 35 first-place votes to finish number one in the final poll for the 12th time. Elsewhere around college basketball, Alabama associate head basketball coach John Brannan will lead the team through the NIT after the firing of Anthony Grant. The Crimson Tide opened the tournament Tuesday night against Illinois just 2 days after Grant's dismissal. Brannan is a 16-year coaching veteran who worked under Grant the past 9 years at Alabama and VCU. George Mason has fired men's basketball coach Paul Hewitt following a 9-22 season. Hewitt went 66-67 in four seasons with the Patriots. Bill Greer has been dismissed at San Diego after the Toreros finished 15-16 in his eighth season. Greer had an overall record of 117-144. Georgia Tech has decided to bring back Brian Gregory for another season. The Yellow Jackets just finished 12-19 overall, 3-15 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Andy Landers is retiring after 36 seasons as the only full-time coach in the history of the Georgia women's basketball program. Well, the NCAA is going all in on high-def video reviews during March Madness for the men's and women's basketball tournaments that begin this week. The NCAA, for the first time, will use a replay system that captures live, high-definition video from multiple angles for immediate review. That means officials will be able to see much more quickly some of the same replays everyone else is seeing on TV. And just maybe some of those delays to get a call right won't be so long. Kim Jackson is director of basketball operations for DV Sport, the system's developer. He says the goal is to avoid changing the momentum of the game. With the DV Sport system already used by several leagues during the season, game officials generally have instant access to the main TV feed and three other angles. Well, the Big 12 again has seven teams in the NCAA tournament. Regular season champion Kansas is a 2 seed, and the number 3 seeds in 3 of the 4 regions are from the Big 12. Tournament champion Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Baylor. The league also has the nation's top cumulative RPI and 5 top 20 teams in this season's final AP poll. Oklahoma coach Lon Kruger Monday said, "We're arguably the best conference in the country. Still, we need to validate that with some tournament wins and some teams advancing." This is the second year in a row with 7 NCAA tournament teams, making the Big 12 the only league that can boast 14 bids in that span. However, only Baylor and Iowa State made it past the opening weekend of the tournament last March, and then both lost in the Sweet 16. And 6-on-6 girls basketball has been gone for nearly 2 decades. Nostalgia still exists, though, for thousands who actually played the game. Thousands more loyal fans flocked in to watch their local team play, especially when they earned a trip to the state tournament where the Sweet 16 battled to crown just a single state champion. Even though many of the communities had less than 1,000 people, the big barn was usually packed as friends, relatives, and neighbors jumped into their cars and headed off to the city. Virtually no businesses remained open, and employees were usually given the day off without question. Send-off celebrations were usually held for the departing teams, and car caravans and assemblies highlighted their return, win or lose. One community like that was Elkhorn Kimbleton, who sent a number of teams to the big dance. Now, a prelude to this year's Tivoli Fest celebration in May will be held on the Friday evening, May 22nd. That event will celebrate not only Elkhorn Kimbleton's rich basketball heritage, but also a number of neighboring communities. The celebration will come in the form of exhibition mini 6-on-6 games that will feature former 6-on-6 players and coaches from some area schools, including Elkhorn Kimbleton, Atlantic, Walnut, Exira, Shelby Tennant, Manning, Manila, Harlan, Irwin Kirkman, Avoha, Audubon, and Tri-Center. A former 6-on-6 girls player or coach from any of those schools is asked to contact the coordinator of this event, Coach Rod Hoig. You can do that by email. The address is rsh215@hotmail.com. Players and coaches from other schools are also welcome to contact Hoig, and he'll do his best to put you on a team. Additional volunteers will be needed as officials, PA announcers, scoreboard operators, and official scorekeepers, who are also asked to contact Hoig. Now, there will be a small admission price at that event, $2 for adults and $1 for students, to help cover the basic expenses, with any profit going to the Tivoli Fest Fund and the Elkhorn Kimbleton Activity Fund as well. Chance to relive some of the good old days when girls basketball was girls basketball, the 6-on-6 game exhibition during Tivoli Fest in Elkhorn this year. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.